What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kendall Gill. Wow!
Kendall Gill, Chicago Bulls pre- and post-game analyst from Chicago Sports Network.
Where you got to be able to close the show. You know, that's what all great champions do in boxing and basketball.
Former NBA player.
Gill saved with Jordan, 7 to shoot. Gill got the block.
Illini legend.
2-on-1 now. What's this? Kendall Gill making a statement.
Kendall Gill on Mullin Haw.
I really like that, guys. I mean, you know, I appreciate you shouting out the Silver Fox squad.
On 670 The Score.
Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Kendall Gill. Now, he joins us on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Kendall, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, guys. How about yourself?
Doing well.
You know, we had an interesting conversation this morning where we were talking about the trade deadline. And, you know, obviously, that's kind of what's next here is – what happens at the trade deadline? We look around the league and we see all the things that are lined up, all the rumors that are floating around out there. How, you know, the problem with the Bulls and trading someone is if indeed they kind of bite the bullet and do that, and they've got guys with expiring contracts, so it would make sense, they can preserve the draft pick, and that would be a win, but I don't know that that's enough. I don't know that you'd get much. It's almost like you're going to lose whatever trade you make because of the situation that you're in as a team.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that one. I mean, I'm not going to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. You know, the way that Zach and Vooch have played this season so far, I mean, they're going to – of course, warrant interest because those guys that have all-star numbers. You know, I thought actually Zach possibly had an outside shot to make the all-star team. Unfortunately, because of our record this season, he did not make the team. But he's been right there with all of the top guys in the league. So has Vooch, especially in the Eastern Conference. He's been one of the better big men. And I know that there's several teams looking to add guys like that to their roster, especially teams that are trying to make a run at the championship, specifically the Milwaukee Bucks, the Denver Nuggets. You know, the Golden State Warriors have expressed interest in Nikola Vucevic. But it all depends on, you know, what we're going to get back. I mean, are you going to give me an all-star caliber player back, or a young player that has potential to be an all-star? That's the, really the only way that I'm going to make a trade. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we should tank, and, you know, we should try and go for the draft pick, you know, getting the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes or the Ace Bailey sweepstakes. Well, you know, I actually think we already have that guy in Bucellis. You know, Bucellis, all he needs is, in my opinion, he needs more time on the floor. He is 6'10". He does all of the things that those guys down in college do. And let's not forget, he's supposed to be a sophomore in college. Okay, he's a young guy that I believe you can build around, and he's got a world of talent. You know, I thought he was going to be a top five pick, but he fell to the Bulls at number 11, which was a blessing. But, you know, you don't know that right now, but in 2 or 3 years, you'll know that down the road because of the development that he's going to have over these next 2 or 3 summers.
That's interesting. I want to get to that in a moment. But, Kendall, I understand why typically you don't want to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade. But I do wonder what you think about how much pressure there is on AK to do just that because of his propensity to just stand pat, and you're running in place and really not going anywhere that is a clear direction. Do you think that pressure will outweigh what you traditionally would expect? You know, you would be reluctant to make a trade just to make a trade.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the pressure that's on him. I mean, especially, you know, publicly from the fan base saying that, you know, we're going to be a perennial play-in team, and, you know, we're tired of being in this position. But, you know, you got to do what you think is right. I mean, and AK has always stuck with his guns. I mean, this has been his history since before he came to the Bulls. You know, he doesn't really make a lot of moves that don't make sense. And, you know, they may make a move. I mean, I don't know whether it'll be one of the core guys. It might be, you know, one of the guys. I mean, perhaps Kobe White is in play. I mean, I think that the only untouchable guy on this roster really is Bucellis right now. You know, I mean, I've heard rumors about Kobe White, even though, you know, I think Kobe is still a very important part of this team. I'd hate to see if any of these guys be traded, but I understand the business. This is what it is. But we just have to wait and see. We got about, a week or so left. Mm-hmm. So we will see. I know it's a nervous time for the guys, though. I mean, everybody, if I was anybody in the NBA, I'm not buying real estate right now.
What's fascinating to me is, like, the Warriors are considered, you know, a team that's in play. The question is, are they trying to get Jimmy? Are they trying to get Zach? Are they trying to get Vooch? And then you look at the Suns, and they've collected draft picks. Who are they trying to get? And what's your take on the whole Jimmy thing, everything that's going on down there? You know, I hate when a guy is, you know, just – I hate when a guy is forcing himself out of town and it looks like he's not going to be able to happily go back there after having a pretty good run there.
Yeah, I mean – I don't understand that, but that, I mean, that's been the history of Jimmy. I mean, I think, you know, Jimmy's been entwined in these type of relationships with the Bulls, with the Timberwolves, somewhat with the 76ers, and now the Miami Heat. And, you know, he's got to understand he's 35 years old. You know, he's in the twilight of his career. He's still a very capable player, but, you know, it's, teams are not going to tolerate this type of behavior when you're long in the tooth. Yeah, he's still, in my opinion, an all-star caliber player, still capable of carrying a team. But, you know, at some point you got to realize things have changed, and you can't behave like you're 23 years old. I mean, because sometimes teams will put up with that stuff, you know, when you're a younger player and you got a long time. But You're doing that once again, and then on top of that, you're doing it to Pat Riley, you know. And I played for Pat Riley for one season. This guy doesn't play around, man. You know, if you screw around with him, he's going to try and find a way to get rid of you. And, you know, not to a team that you want to go to. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Miami Heat tried to send him to Utah or Portland or something like that.
So, Kendall, that would serve him right, actually, for talking his way out of another town. So, back to Bezelis, because I think your perspective on him is interesting, and especially in light of what we heard from Billy Donovan less than a week ago, I thought very candid, and he's been very honest and open about what Matas Bezelis is and what he isn't yet. And he talked about not being ready for 30 minutes a game. And so the idea that this remainder of the season should be devoted to developing your rookie first-round draft pick, he didn't sound like all the minutes are always good minutes, and that there are limitations defensively that you need to protect him against. What do you think about the way that the Bulls are using him and the way that Billy Donovan has explained it?
No, I mean, I agree with Billy as far as the minutes. I mean, 30 minutes a game, yeah, that's too much for him right now. But, you know, I like the way that Billy is bringing him in during crucial situations sometimes, playing him in fourth quarters. And then, you know, he's not finishing games, but he's getting an opportunity to play crunch time with the first unit. And, you know, I just like to see him get more in to play with the starters more. So, you know, he does play with the bench guys that come out, which is good, but I like to see him play with Zach, Vooch, and all those guys to get the experience of what it's like to be a starter. Because, honestly, David, he is the future of this franchise, you know, and if you can build around him and get him that crucial experience right now, he's going to be better next year and the following year.
I saw him interviewed. I think it was Joe Cowley. This was a clip online, and he asked him a question about that. And he's looking at him, and he just says, elaborate. And then Joe has to change, which is a great word. And then Joe has to change the question a little. And then he says, if I'm not playing against the best players, how do I develop? I need to play against whoever the top players. And I thought, that's a great attitude to have. Whether you're outmanned and whether you're going to get humiliated, you're not worried about that. You just want to get better any way you can.
Look, you know, I've been watching Matas since he's in the seventh grade. Okay, he used to play with the Mac Irvin Fire, the same AAU team that my son played for. So in Phoenix, used to scrimmage against Matas, and you know, I've watched Matas for a long time, and he's had this type of attitude throughout ever since he was a little kid. You know, and you know the comment that he made before the draft, the kid Richesay, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, from the number one pick for the Atlanta Hawks. I can distinctly remember when Matas said, listen, he doesn't want to see me. I love that attitude, you know, and that's the attitude that this franchise needs going forward. A guy that believes in himself, a guy that wants to improve, a guy that's going to bring it each and every night. And that's what I see. I mean, did you guys see that dunk he had the other night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When he just went straight down the lane, knocked the guy down, went straight down the lane and dunked it. And Nikola Jokic was standing right there. He's not afraid of anybody. You know, and that's what you want. Yeah, I'd rather have a guy that's overly aggressive that I have to say, okay, let's pull back the reins a little bit, than a guy I have to nudge all the time. You know, and that's Bucellis.
Kendall, Northwestern could have used your son the other night against Rutgers. maybe next year. But I think when you see that game, curious what your perspective is. You mentioned prospects. We're talking about development. Ace Bailey had 37 points the other night against Northwestern. He's a guy that is probably top five in the draft. I know it's very early, but we are talking about the Bulls and what's going to happen next. When you talk about Cooper Flagg and what everybody wants next year in him, there are other guys in this draft that are generational. Is he one of them, Ace Bailey?
Yeah, he is. And you know, honestly, I like Ace Bailey to be the number one pick. I like Cooper Flagg. Ace Bailey, Cooper Flagg, Dylan Harper.
Yeah, and Harper didn't play in that game.
Yeah, and Harper didn't play in that game. Those are the top three guys. So, you know, is Harper a generational pick? I don't know, but I think that Ace Bailey and Cooper Flagg possibly could be, because those guys can really change the game. You saw what Ace Bailey did the other day to Northwestern. I mean, 37 points, and he was doing it off in less than two dribbles, which is what a pro can do. So that lets you know that he's ready right now. And, you know, Cooper Flagg, of course, has been – I didn't know Cooper Flagg was going to have such a great year, the great year that he's having. I thought that he would have a pretty good year, but this kid is having an All-American year. And You know, it surprised me. And his Cooper's number one talent is his effort, much like Bucevic. Okay, their number one talent is that they bring it each and every day, and they have a high motor, and that's what you want in your players.
Kendall, if they went to 10-minute quarters when you were playing, you'd still be in the league.
Hey, listen, I don't know about that. I'm in shape enough to play ping pong right now, so you know.
What do you think about that, though? What do you think about that possibility
of going to 10-minute quarters?
Yeah.
Nah, keep it the same.
That's right.
You know, keep it the same. I don't want to see that change because, you know, high school is 8 minutes now. You'll see guys' numbers going down. Guys won't like it. You know, sometimes it's best to just, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Now, you talk about the three-point line, I take corner threes away.
Why would you do that?
So to make the 3-point shot more valuable, you know, because I think there's way too many threes taken right now. I mean, what are Boston Celtics average 53 threes a game?
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of the mid-range game come back, or perhaps move the 3-point line back a little bit, you know, to make it more challenging.
Move it on the corner to a point where you're more likely to step out of bounds than actually be in bounds. You could try it, but you'd be on your tippy toes.
Right, exactly.
So back to the Bulls in terms of the trade deadline approaching. Curious what your thoughts are on Lonzo Ball. He's a guy that I think is one of the better stories in the league this year, just what he's overcome to stay on the court. And now he's up to 25 minutes plus. And you almost take for granted the fact that he is in the mix. Is he a guy that, as teams look at, you know, adding for the playoffs, how attractive is he? How risky would that be to trade for a guy like Lonzo Ball?
I don't think it would be too risky at this point because he's shown that he is 100% back as far as his health is concerned. Maybe his skill level probably isn't back to where it was prior to his injury, but it's close. I'm a guy that thought Lonzo would never play again.
Yeah.
And to see him come back and to play at this level is unbelievable. You know, and it makes me think back to, man, and same thing with Derrick Rose. I mean, what if, you know, he hadn't gotten hurt, you know, with DeMar and Zach and Vooch and all those guys. Of course, we were number one in the Eastern Conference until after the All-Star game, you know, prior to his injury. And, you know, the things that he still does, I mean, the way that he can quarterback this team, you know, the way that he gets the basketball to everybody that needs it in scoring position. You know, the team, they totally change when he's on the court. You know, everybody knows that he's general. They give him the basketball, and he makes stuff happen. And people and the guys love playing with him. So, if I'm on trying to get a veteran guy, a point guard to make me advance in the playoffs, I'm definitely going to look at Lonzo Ball. You know, because he's exactly what you need, and also now his 3-point shot is starting to come around. You know, so it's a great story, as you said, David. And, you know, I wish him well, man. I wish that he hadn't gotten hurt because we'd be talking about a lot of different things here in Chicago for the Bulls.
No doubt about that. I'm curious. The problem with trades always the same, which is the guys you really want to move, their contracts don't allow you to do so. And the guys you don't really want to move, if you're saying that everybody should be available, the guys you really don't want to move are the guys that have the most value because their contracts are easy to trade. So, like, if someone wanted, you know, Kobe to an extent, Io, someone like that, it would be really easy to get a deal done because it's not much money. But it doesn't mean that it makes you any better. And if you want it, like, let's say, and I don't know how you feel about Patrick Williams, but, like, his skill set – vis-a-vis his contract makes him very difficult to move. Too many years left.
Yeah, he just signed a new contract. But, you know, here's the thing. The past two games, the way that Billy has used Patrick off of the bench and the way that Patrick has responded, he's had two great games. I don't know. Maybe that's the spot for him, you know, being the first option offensively off of the bench. He seems a lot more aggressive. But it's only two games. I mean, it's just a sample size. We have to see how it goes, you know, 10, 15 games, whether this is the role Patrick best fits. And, you know, if he does, I think that's his role going forth. And, you know, hey, listen, I don't mind his contract if he can do the things that he's done the past two games off of the bench for me. If he can do that, I think it's a great value. Because he doesn't have to worry about, you know, Zach or Vooch or Kobe or Giddy being the first option ahead of him. You know, when he comes off the bench, it seems like he says, you know, I'm the first option. I'm going to shoot the basketball. I'm going to be a lot more aggressive. That's what I've seen over the past two games now. Like I said before, if he gives me that type of value, I think the contract is a great value for him.
Great stuff, Kendall. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Kendall.
Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That is Kendall Gill. Does a great job with the Bulls pre and post.
Yep, he'll be working with Layla Rahimi tonight, pre and post game, Bulls and the Hornets. No, actually, the Bulls and the Raptors.
Raptors. I
keep thinking it's the Hornets, but yeah, They're in Toronto, so they're not playing the Raptors. They're not playing the Hornets there.
Unless the Hornets were to somehow
I know they're in
play
Toronto.
A series of games.
Okay. This road trip is Toronto.
Yes.
I saw Chuck Swirsky on Twitter. He's in Toronto.
Happy birthday again to Chuck. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
I'm getting out the dancing shoes.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy 5 and get 5 free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting Dylan Cease with even 1 year left on his deal would be a big market move by a big market team.
All righty, that is John Morasi. It's Mully and Haw on the score. That was him yesterday with Matt Spiegel and Lawrence Holmes talking about the Cubs being a part of the Dylan Cease sweepstakes. There's still a year left on his contract, as we know, and of course the White Sox traded Dylan Cease, and they traded him to San Diego, and maybe San Diego now wants to trade him to the Cubs.
That'd be great.
The Cubs have a lot of top players in their – what do they have? They have seven
of the top 100.
Yeah.
And I think it would take probably – I don't know if it's three of those seven, but probably three prospects to get Dylan Cease on the north side if the Cubs are so inclined. This rumor – doesn't just come out of nowhere. John Morosi is a very well-respected baseball insider, so you would seem that the Cubs are having conversations with the Padres. The Mets also are. They were the other team linked to Dylan Cease. I don't know what the Padres are thinking. I know they want to get something in return for him, but if you trade Dylan Cease, wow. You also lost Blake Snell, correct? If you're the Padres, that's a big loss. And you have another injury to that rotation. You have a depleted starting rotation, and I just don't understand what they would be thinking. But nonetheless, if that's in play, the Cubs should pounce, because if 2025 carries the urgency we think it does, then adding a guy like Dylan Cease to the top of your rotation makes all the sense in the world.
So, I mean, they've been collecting guys from the Astros. Are they now planning on collecting White Sox, former White Sox players? Because obviously they've been talking to David Robertson. We talked about that yesterday.
He's another guy who's a former Cub.
I'm just making
He's a former Cub. Both guys are former Cubs and White Sox.
Can't I have fun
with it? Yeah, you can have fun with it. You can have fun with it. And I think, yeah, Dylan Cease and David Robertson both rumored to be linked to the Cubs. Both guys have worn White Sox uniforms, and both guys have worn Cub uniforms before.
Well, I don't think
Dylan Cease was in the minors.
Yeah, he never made it to the big show.
Okay, all right.
To the show, David.
He was definitely drafted by the Cubs out of Vanderbilt.
Yes.
And to see the symmetry of him coming back to the organization that drafted him would be a welcome sight for many people. Let's just say that. I don't know where it's headed because, you know, also Michael King, I believe, is a Padres pitcher that has been linked to the Cubs among other teams in terms of a trade. So pitchers and catchers report in about 10 days.
Yeah.
It's not long now. And I wonder if
Cease will be reporting.
I wonder. Will
he and Bregman come together? How will that work?
Well, that would be great. if the Cubs, that's what a lot of Cub fans are hoping for. If you get Alex Bregman and Dylan Cease and add them to this mix, you're talking about a team that's good enough to win the pennant. Yes. That's beating the Dodgers, so it's always like you hesitate. I say
that's the only problem.
Good enough. How about good enough to play for the pennant?
There you go. Yeah, no, it would be a hell of a baseball
team.
Yes, it
would.
Because you'd be adding like a stud pitcher and a big bat, and that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And a big glove, let's be honest about it.
You would be adding a guy that would be the most likely candidate on your rotation to compete for a Cy Young Award, and you'd be adding a guy that would have the second highest WAR if you added Bregman to the mix in your lineup.
I know Dustin would say Shota if you said that.
We'd have Craig Tober finally. Craig Tober.
We would have Craig Tober in Chicago.
There's Dustin Rhodes.
Yes, I think that would be something worthy of celebration. So I don't know. It could be really exciting. I don't know how much to get invested in this, though. I don't know if it's just rumor,
right. Well,
leverage.
Have you heard a lot about it? I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not saying they're not going to do it. I'm just saying, do we have a ton of information on an incoming Cease deal with the Cubs lined up ahead of everyone else?
John Morosi's pretty well respected.
John Morosi, if you listen to exactly what he's saying that's a big money move by a big money club.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's almost an insult implied in that, which is the Cubs aren't making big money moves considering they're a big money club.
Well, Kyle Tucker coming to the Cubs wasn't necessarily a big money move,
right?
Because of arbitration and where he
future
is.
Future money move.
Yeah, if they are.
It'll be huge money in the future.
It seems inconceivable that they're going to be in those sweepstakes.
Okay.
Even though I think that's what that's what is the conundrum about the Cubs, is that we quickly concede that. We so quickly concede that it makes the Cubs sound like they're not able to compete with the Mets and the Dodgers and other teams, the Yankees, for Kyle Tucker when he hits free agency, or Juan Soto when he hit free agency.
I think on paper they look like they should be, right? But in reality, what is the Cubs payroll versus the $350 million that you're seeing from the
Cubs payroll
teams?
Is right around $200 million. Oh, no, it's actually $181 million, I think.
That's a
right
lot
now.
Of money.
Yeah, still
don't get me wrong, but how much, I mean, what are the top payroll? Like, the Mets are not far behind the Dodgers.
They're in the 300 range. Yeah,
it's more than that.
Yeah, it's definitely more than that. And the Mets are only like $3 million behind. By the way, Blake Snell did pitch for the Giants last year, but he was a Padre. The point being, I don't know what they do with pitchers. They seem to unload good pitching. And
so could the Cubs get involved in the Yu Darvish sweepstakes?
Yu Darvish was traded to the Padres for Owen Casey, or a package that included Owen Casey.
He was traded as a money dump.
Now the irony would be if Owen Casey was used to lure
a scratcher, let's say, right? Wasn't that what we thought at the time?
Scratch-off ticket?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the way you referred to that trade. It was a salary dump, and they got some prospects in return. Owen Casey has developed into a guy that is ready to be a major league hitter, it appears. And if he were to be used in the Dylan Cease deal, awesome. That's great symmetry. I would be okay with that.
Yeah,
I would be
Dustin,
okay with that.
Was Dustin the one who shot that one
probably
down? He thinks that he's too close to being too good to actually risk in a
trade. How many guys have been like that in the Cub organization, though, in the last few years? That's the thing that's a little bit maddening. It's like, oh, we can't trade this guy. He's going to develop into an all-star. Really?
Really?
Really? You okay? I mean,
he is the guy that you have identified as the best outfielder of the bunch, right? And they got some good outfielders down there.
Yeah, I think I'm speaking personally from having been burned by falling in love too quickly with guys like, oh, I don't know. I'm sure Brandon has the don't play it. But I have a library of comments about prospects that I have gotten a little carried away with.
When you wanted them to sign Verlander, right?
I didn't want them to. I said I could see it.
Back up the truck for Verlander.
I think I said that. I'm just going Oppo right
that
now.
Was or the former Oppo. White Sox pitcher that now is a Yankee and is doing at best. You wanted
Carlos
them
Rodon?
To sign him. You loved Rodon.
Carlos Rodon. I love Rodon. He would have looked great in a Cub uniform. I will not take that one back. No. Carlos Rodon would have been a great investment. This guy goes after hitters, and he stayed healthy.
Why are we trying to put him in a Cub uniform? Shouldn't he have stayed with the White Sox? I mean, wouldn't that
have
helped?
Well, that's a shoulda, coulda, woulda, right?
Well, I'm just saying. That's a crazy comment.
Back to the Casey discussion. I don't think that right now is the time to fall in love with potential when you can get immediate production. And Dylan Cease would give you that in your rotation. I would value that. So Casey and maybe two more prospects, if that's what it takes to get Dylan Cease on a rental with a chance to maybe negotiate a deal with him, great. I'd do that.
Yeah, you know what's funny is we have a texter mad at you because you said that Tucker was a big signing, and this guy's saying they signed him but got rid of Bellinger.
It was a trade. Tucker was a trade.
Yes, but they saved money on that swap.
Getting Kyle Tucker is not a bad thing. No.
No one said it was a bad thing. I mean, this guy is saying that if you really look at that move – that they got rid of Bellinger after getting Tucker, they felt justified.
You're just looking at the money.
Yeah.
Then, okay, I get it, because I wanted them to keep Cody Bellinger too. That's correct. Yeah. But until they start the season, I'm still going to hold Jed Hoyer to those words and hold him accountable for what he said. He said those are going to be reallocated resources. He still has time to reallocate those resources.
Yeah.
So I'll give him time. Corey Patterson, next big all-star. Nicely played, 5'7" That's going way back.
I thought, he's in the Angel Pagans technology machine.
We also can talk about, with Scott Merkin at 9 o'clock, we talked to him about a lot of things. He had to sit down with Tim Anderson, but there's also now renewed speculation about the White Sox still trying to trade Luis Robert Jr. Jim Bowden talked about a deal they had in place, a framework for a deal with Cincinnati, didn't happen. And you wonder, that's why they pivoted and I think went after Austin Hayes. Is Luis Robert Jr. still on the trade block?
The Cincinnati Reds, Philadelphia Phillies are two of the teams that have had discussions with the Chicago White Sox. And what the White Sox want in return for Luis Robert is they want two legitimate top five prospects in your organization. I mean, they want two really good players. And right now, the teams that have talked to them are willing to give one really good player, but not two. The reason being, when you give up a top prospect, that's a sure thing. You know, you're going to get control of them for 6 years, et cetera, et cetera. Now, of course, in the Garrett Crochet trade, they got two legit top prospects, the catcher Kyle Teal and the right fielder Braden Montgomery. And they're hoping to get two more here, so they'll get four everyday players for the two stars that they trade. So I understand what they're trying to do. Now, they haven't been able to do that. So now the question is the player worth two good prospects.
Is he?
Maybe not now, but that's why I'd hold on to him and wait till the deadline, and he will be. If you believe in your hitting instructor, if you believe in your development team, if you believe in Luis Robert Jr., last year was the aberration, the rule, or the exception, not the rule, hold on to him.
Do you believe in your trainer?
Do you believe in your trainer and your medical team?
Because
I know
one more injury and there's no value at all.
You're the White Sox and you can afford to take that risk. I would take that risk and hold on to him until you get closer to the deadline. His value could go up and I would roll the dice.
We have to get out of here, but I want you to define that at some point before we get out of here when you say, if you're the White Sox. Like, yeah, exactly. All right. We've got Mike Palm next, Mully and Haw on the Score.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, proudly presents the star of our show,
Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations of Circa, the D, and Golden Gate.
Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Twitter, at Mike Palm Circa.
Why don't I take you somewhere that you've never been?
Where's that?
Vegas?
Let's head to Vegas with Mike Palm, sponsored by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Remember, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
I don't care if the sun...
He's one of God's great men, Mike Palm. And, of course, he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. How are you? Just 9 days from Super Bowl.
You know, that's what I wanted to ask you. So we don't see any movement on the line, right? It's 1-5. It's kind of stayed there. It feels like the Super Bowl might be as big a betting day as there is, and all the prop bets, and I'm sure there's like 100,000 of them. But is this the calm before things really take off? Do you feel like... I don't know. It seems like a lot of people think the Eagles are going to wind up, the game's, that line's going to change. And I just wonder if now is the time to move, if you can lock in a number.
Well, you make a good point. And so we saw this matchup 2 years ago in Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. And it's the same thing. The Chiefs open and they're 1.5-point favorite. And then week two, the Eagles' money comes in and the Eagles become the favorite. I think that's the likely scenario. I think the worst case scenario is pick or Eagles one is what this game goes off at. So my advice has been, and not giving an opinion on the game, but if you like the Eagles, bet it now and take your 1.5 or take your money line close to even money. And if you're a Chiefs fan, wait till you get closer to the game and you can catch a point or get a much better money line.
What about a long shot MVP choice? Who's standing out as a possibility there?
You know, I bet Barkley. I thought, most books when the odds came out, Barkley and Hurts were both 3-1. And I just thought that wasn't right because I think there's more scenarios where Barkley's the MVP than Hurts. I mean, Hurts can throw for 220, and it's not necessarily something special for a quarterback. The other part of that is I think that voters, if it's close, will consider Barkley's season as a whole, even though it's an award for one game. I think they will consider Barkley's season as a whole and give him the nod, just like they did with Cooper Kupp a few years ago. As far as long shots, Kelsey's gotten some attention. We opened him at 20-1. He's down to 15.5-1. People bet Xavier Worthy as well. We opened him at 35-1. He's 27-1. But see, I have a hard time that a receiver for Kansas City is going to win it, because if they have a big passing game, I think you just give it to Mahomes. There may be Chiefs fatigue. I don't know if there's Mahomes fatigue, though. Maybe there's Mahomes family fatigue, but I don't know if there's Patrick Mahomes fatigue. I would more, if you wanted to look at a long shot, look at, Eagles receivers, maybe Brown's 28-1 and Smith 52-1. And then of course, if you want to throw a few bucks on a defensive player you think can have a big impact with a few sacks or a strip sack or, it's hard to predict interceptions, but a disruptive player, You can throw a few dollars on that as well. But, you know, you used to say bet Mahomes because if the Chiefs win, he's going to win and he'll give you a much better price. But, I mean, it's the difference between minus 120 and plus 120. So is that big of enough a deal to do that?
Yeah, I love all the prop bets. It's like my favorite time of year because I've cashed on the safety bet. I've actually – just dumb bets that you make – based on kind of weird outlier information. And that there's nothing better than that. I feel sometimes like some of the props are easier to hit than the game itself or the over-under or whatever it might be. Because, you know, is this guy going to get 37 yards rushing? You start trying to picture the game and how the game's going to go. And those are real opportunities. And I love being in Vegas when somebody, like a corner of the room, explodes because there was like an 8-yard play and some guy has cashed like a, you know, a 7-yard reception ticket. It's hysterical.
I think there's a couple interesting fourth down props this year. And not every book has their full prop menu out yet. They'll continue to develop more next week. But you're kind of betting two sides of one coin here, but this prop opened at the yes was -1,000. So you had to lay 10-1. Will the Eagles convert a fourth down? Well, if you look at their three playoff games, they've only attempted fourth down once each game. So you could get 6-1 no on that. On the reverse side of it, there's a prop. Will either team convert a fourth down in their own territory? And the yes on that is +350. Now I bet both. I bet no Eagles, and I bet now I could lose, you know, the one if they get it down near the goal line. But, you know, these teams now on fourth down, when they get near midfield in their own territory and it's 4th-and-1, nobody's punting anymore, right, if you get to that situation. And we saw even Andy Reid in the Super Bowl they lost to Tom Brady. Remember, he went for it there at the end of the half, and it turned out on his own side of the field, it turned out not being good for him. So there's so many, like you say, not thousands, tens of thousands of ways to attack this game.
When do things start heating up, Mike? Have they already?
No, they haven't. And this is sort of a dead weekend because the Pro Bowl is such a joke anymore. It used to be decent. But it's like we have a bikini contest at Stadium Swim tomorrow from noon to 4 just because we try to get some excitement around this weekend because of the lack of football. Not to say that college basketball and NHL and NBA cards aren't compelling, but there's no kind of marquee event. The betting action will start heating up around Thursday next week as people start to get into town. Of course, obviously, you still bet on your app and in the other states. But in terms of in Nevada, Thursday, I'm surprised I was wrong about something. You know, I said last year that we were making a bigger deal than it was that the Super Bowl was in Las Vegas because the best place to be for Super Bowl every year is Las Vegas. But when we look at our room rates next week and we look at all the revenue that we got from our convention spaces because of all the parties for that entire week of Super Bowl at Legacy Club and Stadium Swim and in sections of the sports book, it did have a material effect. So I'm very glad that it looks like Vegas will be in this 3 or 4 year rotation to continue to get the Super Bowl.
Great stuff, Mike. Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Travis. Have a great weekend. Talk to you next week.
All righty. Yeah, next week we'll get props galore from him. That's going to be fun. It's Mully and Haw. We've got Scott Merkin. We're going to talk some White Sox next on The Score.